Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Praise the Lores podcast. And welcome to the program, people. Episode 36 of the Praise the Lores podcast. And we are back to discussing sports. Yes, sports, not music. And I am here with an old buddy of mine named Chris. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, dude. I'm good.
You ready to talk some sports? Just rattle off the old noggin of sports?
Always.
All right. Always. 100%. You're a hockey fan. I'm an outsider hockey fan who only watches the playoffs. Why is playoff hockey so fucking awesome to watch?
I don't think it's any more exciting than any other sport, like the actual like playing. I think the vibe just with the crowds is different.
Maybe I'm
biased because I've been to playoff hockey games.
I've never been to a playoff hockey game.
I've never been to a playoff game in any other sport besides.
I've been to playoff baseball games. That's intense, but I mean,
I would like to, but you know, but maybe I'm biased. But I don't know. It's just the vibes, you know, when especially at Madison Square Garden when a goal gets.
Being down here in Florida, I'm sure like Lightning games are. I mean, I'm 3 hours away, so I'm sure Lightning games are even like that too.
Yeah. I mean, especially nowadays, even if they are, you know, bandwagon Lightning fans, because
I bet there's like real fans of them like that are homegrown.
I mean, they won the cup in 2004, so there's definitely people who, you know, are fans.
Yeah.
But you know, any team wins the Stanley Cup, you're gonna have bandwagon. It's just different. It's just the vibes. And like I said, I think I'm just biased, and I enjoy the playoffs in every sport, but probably just because I've been to a game, this playoff hockey is different.
Oh, it just looks intense, and just watching on TV. Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago, I think I watched the game where the Lightning were in like a 3-overtime game, and that was just so intense and
You do. Not always. I mean, look, any playoff game could just be a stinker. Like, I can't think of a recent one.
Yeah, like a 7-2 game or something that. Or
personally, all the Ranger ones, Game 7, like on the OT, have just been heart attacks. But
I believe it.
2015, they had the same thing. Game 7, they go to OT, and they won that one in overtime. But it's just different, especially since so many playoff hockey games go to overtime, especially Game 7s. It's just, you get extras in baseball, but it's not the same.
Well, at least they don't have that stupid runner on second rule in the playoffs.
Don't get me started.
We're going to jump right into that now. Things on all these rules in the last few years.
I liked most of them. I liked the 7-inning doubleheaders.
The 7-inning doubleheaders didn't bother me as much, but the runner on second rule did. And the 7-inning doubleheaders, sorry I cut you off, but the reason the 7-inning doubleheaders didn't bother me is because in Little League, you play 6-7 innings. So it's like, okay, you're going back to like the Little League aspect. Yeah. The runner on second rule, you're literally changing the whole fabric of the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I just never understood the reason to play 2 9-inning games. Like, it's excessive. Like, the Yankees are playing 23 games in 22 days, say, in a doubleheader. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, it's just stupid. Just play 2 7-inning games. But the runner on second is garbage. If a team has been able to produce runners all day, they can win the game.
Yeah, because you get that free runner.
It's stupid. It doesn't bother me right now because it's not a permanent thing. They're going to do it this year, and then it's gone. So, whatever. Another rule change, like banning the shift. I wasn't for it at first, but like,
I'm for it now.
Yeah. It's just so boring to watch. You know,
it takes away hits. It takes away excitement.
Yeah, and hitters should learn how to like hit the ball the other way too. Like,
that's what I was taught when I played.
Like Joey Gallo, but like, I don't know. It's not exciting to watch. It sucks seeing like Joey Gallo rip one up the middle, and the guy's just fucking right behind.
Yeah, the third baseman's in the middle of the field.
Yeah. Like they played I can't remember what hitter it was against on the Yankees, but they played a 4-man outfield. Fucking literally 4 guys in the outfield. It was stupid. It's dumb.
It's very, thank God. I mean, you know, it was a strategy thing when it first started. And at the time, it's like, okay, it's a strategy. You learn to go beat against it. But now, like you said, guys don't hit the other way anymore. It just makes for a boring game. Like people like us are going to stick with baseball And that's why I see their predicament and wanting to get a younger generation into it. And just because look how popular the NFL and the NBA is and now how hockey is.
Yeah.
Baseball's literally the third sport now when it was number one, like what, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe even 40. Because the NFL has just gone up.
That's more. It's more exciting, which is why I get there trying some new rule changes in baseball.
The runner on second is not exciting.
No, and I'm not talking about
no, that. No, but like they think it. Oh yeah, this will get people a free run.
Well, they don't. I get why they did it because you know there were some extra inning games that were going 15, 16 inning, which I guess doing the two inning or the seven inning double headers would also mitigate this, but you have they score with the runner on second. You're not playing 16 inning games anymore. But like
I think the runner on second rule would have made more sense if you get to like the 14th inning. That way you could speed it up. Just like the hockey does the shootout and like, you know, you do one overtime period and then you do a shootout.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Okay, but see, I hate the shootout in hockey. I hate it.
Some people love it.
I hate it. Bring back ties. I'd rather there be ties than do the shootout.
Aren't there still ties or are those shootout losses?
No, it's you have wins, losses, and I think it's overtime losses.
No, that's OT loss. That's not like...
But because you get an overtime loss, you still get a point.
Oh, okay.
Instead of the 2 points.
See, that's the thing. I hate,
you know... An exciting game, even if it's not playoffs, you have an exciting game during the regular season, and then it gets decided by a fucking skills competition. It's stupid.
It's good for All-Star weekend.
It's good for All-Star weekend, but not like in the regular season. That's like having an extra innings game in baseball and deciding the winner by a home run derby. Like, it's stupid.
I heard they're going to do that for the All-Star game if it goes to extra innings, so that way they don't wear out.
That's fine. That's exciting. I'm not watching the All-Star game. Like, I'm watching the All-Star game to have fun.
Yeah.
Not like, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, you don't get home field now from the All-Star
game. I liked that. I liked when they did that.
I didn't. I get they wanted the game to be important, but it's just so, that shouldn't decide home field.
Like, I think they stopped it after 2016 when it was the Cubs Indians and the Cubs barely had any home games and they clearly had the better record.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But that was my point. Like, you shouldn't bust your ass. Well, the regular season had this really good record and a team who got into the playoffs and somehow made the World Series from a wild card. That's stupid. That's why I like the NFL does a neutral site.
Because it doesn't
matter what your record is. Sure. You're going to get the bye and you know, all that stuff. But like,
did you like the changes to the playoffs with the NFL?
I don't mind them.
I like the one bye. I think that makes it, more interesting at the end, especially.
Yeah.
But unless your division is like the AFC East, it used to be New England. Now it's Buffalo, who looks like they could run away a good amount if they could stay healthy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you have divisions like that, it's not exciting. Or the AFC South, where it's just the Colts or the Titans.
Yeah.
Like fluctuating who's good that year and who's not good that year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind. It's really hard for the NFL to do anything in the playoffs that's going to make me hate it. I want them to change that OT rule. It's so stupid.
Oh, where the one team doesn't get the chance? Yeah. That was already a classic game, but just imagine how much better if Allen had a chance.
You have a QB who's like on fire the whole game. Through what, 4 or 5 touchdowns? It doesn't even get to touch the ball in overtime.
Well, also, your defense sucked and let them drive for 13, 14 seconds.
I understand people who say, oh, well, you know, the defense should stop them. I was like, I get that. They should, but, like, why shouldn't the other defense also have to stop the other team?
I agree.
Like, you haven't stopped them all. I don't get it.
Yeah, but see, like, the NFL is on top of it. They screwed up with the pass interference penalty. They screwed up with that, but at least they're willing to try things.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. They fixed it, so I'm just venting for no reason. But it was just watching that game and just having it end like that. I was just, it was great. Doesn't take away from the game for me, but I was like, come on. If this was my team, like if I was a fan of the Bills, I'd be fuming.
I cannot imagine. imagine the amount of houses of Buffalo Bill fans that were breaking TVs, breaking everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills, our whole lifetime, the Bills have sucked, basically. Yeah. And now in the last, what, has it been 4 years, they've been really good? So just imagine those fans going through all that heartache, having quarterbacks like Ryan Fitzpatrick and EJ Manuel, and now they legitimately have a star.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you have quarterbacks like that, you're going to be finishing. You have QBs that bad, you're going to eventually you're going to get the top pick and end up, you know, getting somebody like Josh Allen.
Who I remember people were skeptical on him. I remember that.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't good in college.
Hey, where'd he go? Wyoming? Like one of those schools you don't really know about.
But it's like, he wasn't that good in college. His completion percentage was garbage. He had an arm, but
like Jamarcus Russell had an arm.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out. He went to a good team with a good coach and a good offensive coordinator.
Well, that's what it takes.
Brian Daboll.
That's what it takes.
There are just some QBs who just can't be fixed.
I think Baker Mayfield's another one of them.
I think he could be fixed. It's just not with the Browns.
Why? Because it's the Browns.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, I don't know. I just don't like the Browns, so I'm biased.
You don't like them because of all the hype they've had over the last few years, or
yeah, they're still getting so hyped, and they're still not great. Like I don't get it.
I mean, I was rooting for them 2 years ago in the playoffs just because I like those Cinderella stories, but like then Kansas City became Kansas City. Just imagine the Giants could have maybe had Mahomes. Just imagine how different life would have been.
Right, and we could say that. We could sit here and say that. Like, oh, life would have been so much different if we had Mahomes. But, like, would he have turned into Patrick Mahomes
on the Giants? I think he's perfect with Andy Reid. That's the thing.
Yeah, he wouldn't have turned into this with the Giants. So, you know,
who would have been his coach? McAdoo, I think, would have been his coach.
Yeah, which, you know, McAdoo's not a bad offensive coordinator, but as coach, I don't think he would have developed like this. Who knows? I mean,
Behind Alex Smith, but it could have helped being behind Eli. I mean, regardless of how Eli was those last couple of years, it's still an NFL quarterback who's been there, done that.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have helped that as much, just because Alex Smith, you know, he wasn't the most mobile quarterback, but he can move in the pocket, and he can move the pocket, and, you know, he wasn't a strong arm, so I think it really helped.
No, he was a good game manager. He's kind of what Tannehill is now. Although I've said in the past, Tannehill is like a top 15 guy, but now it's, I don't know. I mean, I put him in the top 15. Now I don't know how to feel about him.
I think Tannehill's a better QB than Alex Smith ever was personally, but I think it helped Mahomes find his part of his game.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he moved around the pocket in college and did stuff like that, but I think learning from somebody who pretty much had to do it his whole career because he had no offensive line helped him a ton.
Yeah, I'm just...
It's like if Daniel Jones had someone like that.
Daniel Jones can move a lot more than, you know, than people think.
Yeah, than people give him credit for, yeah.
Oh, he can move around. It was such a breath of fresh air seeing his first game in person and, like, having Eli not run, really. And then seeing a guy who could run, I'm like, okay. But that was 2019, and we're a far way from that, which is a shame. I remember thinking after that game, I'm like, we could have something. But then the Giants, and, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, people always get on it like, oh, the Giants, you know, they didn't fix the line. But they tried. Like
how many drafts have they tried to fix that line? Like, really?
Andrew Thomas.
Eric Flowers.
Eric Flowers. Let's about to say
Evan Ingram.
Well, yeah, Evan Neal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who else? You know, we were talking
even
about
like Will Hernandez, signing Nate Solder,
Lemieux,
Matt Peart,
who's still on the team? He might not be bad. Peart's just bad. Who else?
Came from UConn. What
Nick
do you expect?
Gates.
Nick Gates has. Wait,
Nick Gates was a good center. He was a good center. But you know, blew up his knee. So who knows what's going to happen this year? Yeah. I'll probably be the backup center.
They tried. Like, I will, you know, I was not a Dave Gettleman fan. I think he just thought too much of an old school and thought all his moves were like, you know, the next big thing, and they just blew up in his face.
Yeah, when he said like the whole computer people thing, I was like, yeah, this is not going to go well.
No, because as much as there's critics of analytics and numbers in sports, I'm mixed on it. I think it's needed, and then I think sometimes it ruins a lot of the sport and any sport. But he kind of needed somebody to kind of steer him in a way like, listen, Dick, you need to stop what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had no one to
really tell him what to do.
He had no one to tell him no, yeah, yeah.
Because so John Mara loved him.
I don't know if he loved him. I think they probably butt heads more than people think.
I think a lot of more front offices in sports butt heads more than you think.
Yeah, and everyone complains. There's another thing that bothers me. I mean, oh, how could you let him retire? How come you didn't fire him? What's the difference? He's gone. Okay, exactly. If he retired or got fired, what does it matter?
Retired, like, fired, his ass is gone. We have a new regime.
Cares? Exactly. What does it matter? I never got that. Who cares?
I would love if not just us, but a lot of sport teams were run like how the Steelers are run or how the Packers are run, where there's consistency. You might not win every year, but at least you're there. At least you're in the conversation.
But that's hard. The Steelers are an anomaly. And I would say in any sport, but you have the Spurs.
Now they're going
Spurs
through.
Spurs have always been good. Even,
they're going through a little spurt now.
Yeah, but I mean, Tim Duncan retired. You lost Manu. You lost Tony Parker.
Kawhi.
You lost Kawhi. Yeah. It's gonna happen. But they're still like, they're not even bad. They're still not even bad. Like they've never,
like even Yankee fans. So like you're a Yankee fan. If I'm a Yankee, like I hear callers on the radio still that complain about it. I'm like, just be happy that you're over 500 and competing for the playoffs every year. As a Met fan, I would take that every year. Now,
absolutely.
If I'm in the shoes, maybe, I don't know, maybe it'd be different. Be like, oh, well, we expect to win. We expect to win. But being how the Mets have like a winning season like once every 10 years, it seems, if I'm having a winning season in any sport, I'm happy. I don't know why some people just can't enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean, look, I always enjoy when the Yankees, like, I expect the Yankees to make the playoffs. You know, you have to at this point. Mm-hmm. With the money they spend and, you know, the players they have. And I try not to look it in the mouth because there are gift horse in the mouth, I guess, is what I was trying to say. Because a lot of teams don't make the playoffs at all, like, ever. Look at the Mariners.
And they were a game away last year. They were a game away.
I'm grateful to make the playoffs, but some people are. I think some people get on Yankee fans unfairly because we expect more. Like, oh, you made the playoffs, and now you're complaining about not making it to the championship series. Like, yeah, because we spent a lot of money. We have a lot of good players, and they're coming up short every year.
I've been a critic of most Yankee fans who didn't make it. Yeah, I've been a critic of most Yankee teams and fans, but there's no one on this team I hate. Actually, like they're all just cohesive guys, and
it's just like the Mets. Like, there's no one on the Mets to hate. I mean, I guess Scherzer could rub me the wrong way, but I don't think it's his intensity. I don't think I hate him.
It's his intensity.
Yeah, but he is intense, but sometimes it's just dickish. Like you have to be able to, like, it's okay to be intense, but you have to be able to reel it back sometimes, because then you're just an asshole.
Yeah.
like Paul O'Neill. Like, I love Paul O'Neill. He's a good player. Like, going into the dugout and bashing because of the bat, like, you're an asshole. Like, reel it back, dude.
Well, remember, like, important. I mean, we were younger, but we remember seeing highlights of, like, Albert Bell. Like, remember him? Dude would just punch motherfuckers and just get in people's faces.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, you're a dick.
Like, I kind of miss test, that,
you're
though.
You're an asshole.
I kind of miss that.
I don't. There's not enough intensity in baseball, don't get me wrong. We should have more players being intense. But that's over the line. In football, okay, fine. But, like, in baseball, there's no need for that. Especially, like, the Albert Bell shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's... And, like, even, like, I'm, like, that's one of the rules I'm glad MLB did, like, way ahead of time, was getting rid of the collisions at home plate.
Oh, because of the Buster Posey thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the dude fucking got destroyed. And I don't... It never needed to be like that.
No, it was interesting at times. It made for good entertainment, but I do get why they did it, just for like the safety of catcher, especially because you know they already take a beating. So
right, and like it's like they get the ball and turn around and get immediately blasted. They had no time to even brace for it. So, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we divulge into all sports. We're going to divulge into all sports. Now, let's see. Here's another topic. Why do you think the umpires fucking suck?
I don't think they suck any more this year than the other year.
Maybe we're realizing it more. We might be realizing it a little more.
Yeah, I think that's more of it. People are noticing it more, but I don't think they're any worse than any other year. I mean, there's just more egregious calls this year, I think. But
I mean, Angel Hernandez is on top of his game.
Yeah, well, his game is being bad, so.
Now, didn't he work a playoff series for you guys a couple years ago?
No, I don't think he's worked a playoff series in a
while. No, I remember, I think it was against the Red Sox in 2018 he worked a game or something like that.
Maybe you're right. I don't, the only reason I don't think so is because I would remember that because I hate him. I don't know. If he did, then he must not have been that bad.
I hate when they make the game about themselves, and a lot of them do. Like, you saw the other week, that guy with Madison Bumgarner, and, like, just kind of, he kept looking at his hand and then looking at him, like, in the eyes.
That was
wanting to start something.
He was being a dick. Yeah. He wanted to get him tossed.
Like, Mad Bum's a big dude. I don't think I'd want to fuck with someone like that.
Yeah, but the umpires know if they get touched, they're going to,
They're going to cry wolf.
They're going to get suspended.
Yeah, the umpires will just always cry wolf and, like, flop, basically.
Yeah, there's going to be robo-umps.
I think that will help baseball. I know it takes you hear the old guys, and I guess we're considered older guys and the fans of the game, too, but, the human element. The human element also causes anger, and you don't want that either.
The human element's not even going to go away because you're still going to need a home plate umpire because somebody's got to relay what the calls were and, plays at the plate and all that. They're still going to be around, but they're not going to be calling balls and strikes.
I'm confused on how the setup's going to be. Like, I know they're testing it out in, like, independent leagues and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's basically there's a camera behind the plate. It's hard to explain. I've seen it in action at a Atlantic League game, and it wasn't perfect, which is why they're probably not rushing it out yet, but,
Because it's not going to be a perfect product right away. There's just like this pitch con.
But you know what? But here's my thing. Why even they shouldn't put it out until it is perfect. Otherwise, what's the point? Then you're still going to have the same issues that you're having with the umps now. So it's like, wait until it's perfect and then bring it.
But man, some of them are so bad. There's this page on Twitter I follow of all, like, the umpires' missed calls and stuff, and some are so bad.
Like NFL
reps get a bad name. I think MLB umpires might be a little worse.
Well, it's worse for the MLB umps because it's like you got to do balls and strikes, which you should be getting right. It's not as fast paced. NFL refs, I can understand missing a call because, it's a fast game. Just like in the NHL, you might miss penalties because you're skating 40 miles an hour down the ice.
Do you scream at your TV when you see a missed penalty in any, like, hockey and football? I scream so much.
I'm not too bad with that, mostly because it really isn't going to make a difference in the game. Usually not.
Sometimes.
If it's an egregious one, and if it's clearly a pass interference, then yeah, but I don't get like that often. I get more mad when the team's just bad.
Like we've been watching for the last five years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, why get mad over my bad team not getting a penalty? I can't do anything with it anyway.
And like sometimes I get annoyed when fans are like that, watch them when they're good, but it does get very irritating watching the same bullcrap every night when they're fucking up, or in football's case, every week. I don't get it. And like the Giants have just consistently screwed up after being praised constantly by the Giant way. There is no Giant way anymore. They want it to come back. It's not coming back yet until they win.
I mean, you can still do things a certain way, but like the whole Giant way thing was leading to people like Gettleman, getting GM jobs.
Well, I remember me and you would bicker about that. You were happy to get him at first, just because you didn't like Jerry Reese.
I didn't like Jerry Reese. I still don't think Jerry Reese was amazing. But in hindsight, he was better than Gettleman. But, like, Gettleman built a good Carolina team. I didn't, you know, I couldn't expect it to go fucking that off the rails bad.
What were we, like, 19-44 or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't expect it to go like that, because that Carolina team made it to the Super Bowl. And that was a lot of his players. But, you know, I don't know. I think that the dude was checked out and took it for a paycheck at that point.
Kind of like how Phil Jackson did with the Knicks.
Well, I think it was a little different. I think Phil Jackson wanted the Knicks to be good. I think Gettleman wanted the Giants to be good. It just didn't work out.
He was just too stuck in his ways, like we said.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and shit on Gettleman, whatever. He doesn't seem like a terrible dude. He was just a bad GM.
That accent was something, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Imagine hearing that for like 12 hours a day.
It's still weird having a Boston guy
running New York.
GM of a New York team, yeah. Yeah, but I don't think he was a bad guy. Some people take it too personally. I do agree with you on that,
because there are people who are passionate.
I get it. You want to see your... Yeah, but that's fine. I'm passionate. But, like, for some reason, call the guy, like, you know, and I might... This might be sacrilege to Giants fans, which I am one, but people are like, oh, he's the worst thing that ever happened. You know, he's the worst person to ever, you know, do anything for the Giants ever. I was like, dude, he made our football team bad. It's not that big of a deal. Lawrence Taylor freaking sexually assaulted somebody. Like, he's not the worst person to ever be on the Giants.
No, he's a know-it-all douche, but he could be worse. I get it.
He's bad at his job. Like, he's not a bad person. Like,
no, he's just very full of himself. You know, you can be full of yourself and still not be, like, the worst person in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. People get too uptight. Don't get me wrong. I get uptight. I get mad at games. But, like, it's not that important, man. It's not that personal. Like,
I know, but again, there are people who have a lot of money invested, whether it be betting, whether it be season tickets, stuff like that. So I get it to a certain degree.
If you are stupid enough to bet on a bad team like the Giants, the Jets, the Jaguars, then you deserve to lose all your money.
Hey, I live out here in Duval County. I live out here with them Jaguar boys.
I mean, I'm not no shade to Jaguars fans, but if you're betting on that team, then you either suffered a brain injury or you have a gambling addiction.
It's probably the gambling addiction more than anything. Because I went to a game last year. They played the Titans, and they looked okay for like the first couple drives, and then bad teams. That's what bad teams do.
Yeah, and I think that team's better than what they were last year. Urban Meyer's terrible.
I laughed at that to begin with. I'm like, why?
Yeah, dude. I don't think Chad Khan's a bad owner. I don't think he's a good owner. Every move he makes backfires. Except for that one year they made the playoffs, Doug Marrone.
Yeah.
But
they were impressed. Like, I don't know. There's certain teams I want to see do good. They're one just because you don't hear about them. You know, you want to see a team, at least in my case.
I mean, you don't hear about them because they haven't been good since Tom Coughlin was there, and that was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, and God, we were like, we were basically infants when that was.
Yeah, yeah, I was about freaking 10 years old, 11 maybe. Like,
yeah, what a time.
No, I'm trying to think. Well, no, that was like 96. I lied. They came around, what, 96, 97?
Yeah.
I'm thinking too far ahead. Yeah, I was 3, 4. Yeah,
so it's been a while. Yeah, it has been a while.
Yeah.
No, well, the Giants are actually coming out here in October, and I'm heading to that game. It's going to be a sea of blue, good. Baby.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a sea of blue.
I'm sure it'll be great football.
I know that was sarcasm when I could hear it.
It's not going to be good football.
I'm kind of happy it's in October, so then I don't have to sweat my ass off and then be pissed off about the Giants.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's Florida. Who knows?
It is Florida. And speaking of another Florida team who's still the quarterback, how do you feel about that Brady contract for broadcasting when we've never seen him broadcast a game ever?
I mean, look, it's not my money. If they want to pay him all that money without broadcasting a game, then more power to Tom Brady.
Well, remember ESPN got Jason Witten? That blew up in their face.
Look, somebody was paying him that amount of money. I'm sure who'd he sign with, CBS?
Witten was Monday Night Football.
Fox.
Oh, Brady, yeah, Fox, Brady signed with Fox.
Somebody was going to sign him for that much money. I'm sure they were in a bidding war. So it was, somebody was going to sign him.
I mean, we've seen this guy forever. I mean, he's not horrible. He's not awkward. It's just...
No, I think there's enough stuff on him breaking down football games and all that good stuff.
I thought I would hate Tony Romo. I don't think he's that bad.
No, he's not. He does some weird, quirky things, but, like, you know, it's cool seeing him be like, oh, they're going to run this play, and then they run it and score a touchdown. So, you know, every announcer's got their quirk.
Well, that, just, you know, we talked in the pre-show that a lot of people hate Buck and Aikman, and we personally like Buck and Aikman. Whenever I hear Buck's voice, I know it's a big game.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that is swaying me a little bit. But I hear Joe Buck, I know it's a big game. Not all of them. During the regular season, they'll do, well, they used to. They're probably not going to do many Giant games now since Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
So, you know, Giants aren't going to get a ton of Monday Night Football.
That's going to feel
right
so
now.
Weird not hearing them on Fox. Like, yeah. You ever realize that?
Yeah. Who's the lead guy now? Kevin Burkhardt.
Oh, that's like my him, man. You know? I love Burkhardt.
Oh, yeah, me too. So I'm not that upset about it, but, you know, it's
weird.
You hear Joe Buck. Even in baseball, when you hear his voice, you're like, oh, shit, like, this is it.
That's
like,
where I think I'll miss him more, in baseball.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if ESPN eventually, you know, lets him call some Sunday night baseball games. But
I'm surprised I was never in his deal.
I'm going to miss him more in baseball than football. I think he's one of those guys that, like, not that he's not a football fan, but he likes baseball more than football.
Because of his dad.
I think he always... was more excited to make, you know, baseball calls than football. But
I feel like we're in the minority of people who don't mind him. I really do.
I don't, yeah, like, you know, I said in the pre-show, the fact that everyone hates him because they think he hates their team means he's a good commentator.
Yeah. I don't get that vibe. I mean, like I told you, when Aikman does Cowboy games, you could tell there's like an allegiance there. And to a certain extent, like, he tries to be professional, but then it's like him being the quarterback again for them comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say that's one thing about Romo. I don't feel like he's biased, even when I guess he really doesn't call the Cowboys game. I thought he called one. He might have called one.
It was like one or two. I think one time he got really giddy and shit, and it's just like, okay, Tony, okay.
Yeah, you know, you have to expect it. That's the only team he played for. So it's gonna
Who do you hate more, Dallas or Philly? I always forget your answer on this. I always ask every Giant fan.
Yeah, and I don't. You probably forgot because I've never given you a consistent answer. I hate them both.
But you have to hate one more. I hate them for different reasons. I hate the Cowboys team and because of their ownership and the players, and then the 90s, man. Like, bring back the 90s, and then I just hate Eagle fans all around. And just the organization.
I just think I hate Eagles fans more. They're more annoying. They're dirtier. Trust me, I've been to Philly enough at this point. They're just dirty. I'm not talking about everybody in Philly being dirty. I like specifically Eagle fans. They're just.
I think it's Eagle fans top it. Philly fans are bad when it's Philly's Mets, but not even close to what Eagles Giants.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind Philly, Philadelphia. Fans,
what about Flyer fans for like hockey? Have you ever been around them?
Yeah, and they're not that bad, and their team's just not good. So I mean, they're not a threat. They can talk shit, but it means nothing. I hate Pittsburgh fans in the NHL more than I hate Flyer fans.
Like, there's just something about Eagle fans that just detests me. There's one Eagle fan. I went to a Giant Eagle game in 2017 when we went 3-13, and there was an Eagle fan that I was sitting next to, and he was actually the chillest guy. I'm like, you know, you're probably the nicest Eagle fan I've ever met. He said, yeah, I don't like our fans either. I think we're just assholes. I'm like, wow, hearing this is weird.
I have an Eagle fan story. And it's the complete opposite of yours.
Oh, let's hear it.
I was in Philadelphia for something. I forgot what. I was with my friends, and we went to a Miller's Ale House, and the Giants were playing the Chargers, if you remember that game. Fucking, what's his name? Justin Herbert threw like a 70-yard touchdown.
Yep.
It was nuts. But I didn't have any Giants gear on, but you could tell I'm a fan because I was getting, you know, upset. And there were Eagle fans across from me, and they were just like talking shit the whole time. I was like, dude, I know they suck. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
And what are they getting high and mighty about? They have Jalen Hurts.
I wasn't even like talking to them. I wasn't referencing them. I wasn't saying anything to them. And they just, you know, they were just talking shit to me. I was like, I didn't even do anything to you. I said nothing to you.
They're just vicious, nasty people. I remember seeing a video online when it was the NFC Championship game, the year they unfortunately won the Super Bowl. And Viking fans are just walking into the stadium and they're getting yelled at, thrown at them. It's just like, really? Come on.
Yeah, they're just scumbags.
And then the whole eating the horse shit when they won. Like, remember that?
That's the only, they have to do that shit because no one cares about them unless they're doing some dumb, stupid shit like that. If you ask any NFC East fan of any team who they hate the most, it's probably going to be the Eagles.
My least hated team is the then Redskins. It's going to be hard for me to call them Commanders, so just bear with me.
Because they're just not good. Same with the Giants. Like, all these other teams are probably the same. Oh, we hate the Giants the least because they're not good. They're not a threat.
My whole lifetime, the Redskins just haven't – they've been good a couple years, but not like – there's no, like, hatred, I feel like. I just feel it's like, oh, we're in the same division. We'll play each other.
No, because who cares? When they play each other, who cares? Like,
it's usually a meaningless game.
Yeah, it means nothing. Like, who gives a shit? Like, the fact that I waste my Sundays watching games like that, it's more about me than anything else, but they just don't mean anything. Why hate each other?
Now, do you agree?
Oh, cool.
Do you agree with my assessment on Cowboy fans that they talk about the past too much, and then Jerry Jones and just the Cowboy fans on TV are just so goddamn annoying?
I mean, sure, but what am I going to say? I'm a Yankee fan, and pretty much every Yankee fan does that, so I can't really talk that much.
I think Jerry Jones needs to not be everything. He doesn't need to be the GM either. Why don't you just go back to owning and promoting? Like
when you own the most profitable team in the NFL, I mean, I guess you just do what you want.
I just think from a football standpoint, you're fucking it up more.
Yeah, but he doesn't think that. He'll never think that.
No, because he's an egomaniacal maniac.
They're always just good enough, so he's never gonna think, oh, I'm doing something wrong.
Football is just that one sport, man.
Speaking of the Cowboys, Trayvon Diggs, everyone fucking loved that dude. That dude sucked.
He had 11 interceptions, but didn't like everyone beat him on routes half the time that were longer than like 20 yards?
Yeah, dude, it was. You could be a ball hawk all you want. Cui had interceptions, but like,
bro, your brother is better than you. Your brother is better than you.
You gave up. You know, you gave cool. You got an interception, but you gave up 150 yards before that. Like, who gives a shit, dude? And people talk shit about James Bradbury, and he wasn't great last year, but, like, I'd rather Bradbury who,
corners, you know, are such hit and miss.
I'll take 80 yards over one interception, you know, 150.
Like, we're never going to see,
Trayvon Diggs got burned by Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. We're never going to see guys like Revis anymore, though. Like, that's the thing.
No.
Corners are going to have, like, their 2-3 year span. Revis, at least, even, like Revis, Sanders, Champ Bailey, like those guys.
Because I feel like maybe I just haven't watched enough Deion Sanders. I think Deion Sanders is the reason we have these ball hawk cornerbacks now.
Yeah.
Guys just want to make plays. They don't care about covering. And it's like, it's cool, but like, let it come to you. Don't go out of your way because that's why you give up with 200 yards. You know, isn't that the wide receivers are better than ever?
Well, that's why I get annoyed at dudes like Jalen Ramsey who just always talk their shit. Like, yeah, you'll have a good game here and there, but I don't know. There's something about that.
Jalen Ramsey is pretty consistently good.
Talking
shit because he usually backs it up. But, like, I don't know. That's why, like, I hope when the Giants draft a cornerback.
Like dudes like Josh Norman. Remember that dipshit?
Yeah. Yeah, and I just feel like cornerbacks nowadays are trying to – it's one of the hardest positions to
– master, like, really.
Master at the NFL level, so it's tough.
I mean, we're sitting here probably not being able to ever play that, but
oh yeah, but I feel like a big reason is because everyone wants to be a ball hawk. Nobody wants to like just cover, and it's hard. Believe me, I can't say anything because I can never do it. And these receivers are harder to cover than ever. But like, they're already hard to cover. Why are you going out of your way, like, to just try and grab the ball?
It's hard.
Receiver, turn your head and stop the ball.
It's hard to catch dudes that run a 4.5 or a 4.7 or whatever.
I get it. You want to get the ball back for your team, but like, I mean, if the guy, if you know, you go to make a play, the guy jumps over you, grabs the ball, and you're not in position, it scores anyway, then cool. Get the turnover on downs. It's, I don't know. Maybe I'm old school about that.
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of old school and new school. That's what I think a lot of sports tend to fail with.
You know, I think the perfect cornerback was like Charles Tillman.
Oh, Peanut? Yeah, he was good.
He could cover. He would get interceptions, but it wasn't.
He would knock the ball out good, too.
I feel like he never went out of the way. I think he still holds the record for most interceptions in the game, doesn't he? Is it three?
Three or something four, like or something like
it's
that.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot, but
that's why it's so funny when people were, you know, basically dick riding Trayvon Diggs, like, oh, he's got 11 interceptions. Yeah, but besides those 11 interceptions, and look what
else. We do have to preface this by saying we're both Giant fans, so we're gonna be a little saltier and biased. But I don't know. I feel like I would feel the same way if the Giants had Trayvon Diggs. It's cool, and I
think we'd stand up for him and be like, he's a good corner. And I'm not saying he's a bad corner. He's a good corner. But when people make him out to be like a Revis or like that's no. Guy had 11 interceptions. Good for him. But everything else in between, you have to have a full body of work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like I guess it's different. I was going to compare him to a DH in baseball.
Well, it's hard to do that now when it's put in both leagues.
I know. I was gonna say only being able to do one thing, but I mean, it doesn't really.
I mean, two DHs are in the Hall of Fame.
Really, yeah, well, don't get me started on David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, you're gonna say this from a Yankee fan perspective.
Okay, but it's not even a Yankee fan perspective. It is, and he's a Red Sox, and I don't like him. But the dude cheated. He took steroids, and it's not that he took steroids. That's fine. I think guys who took steroids should be in the Hall of Fame because everyone fucking did it. But don't keep out Barry Bonds and, you know.
I was just about to say that.
Mark McGwire, because and you're going to get mad at me, but, you know, you're going to put Mike Piazza in eventually. If he's not already in, I don't remember.
He's in.
Yeah. And these guys did steroids. It's bullshit. Like, again, this is my Yankee bias, but that A-Rod's going to get kept out. Like, again, he was a dick to the media, too, but, like, you just put David Ortiz in.
Well, don't you think that's unfair that we have. Don't you think it's unfair we have members of the media kind of controlling this, too?
I don't know if there's a better way to figure out how. Unless they do a committee. Who do you fill a committee with? You know what I mean? I guess former players, maybe?
That creates kind of a conflict, too.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, you know, you have someone like, I don't know. I think an older player who was before the steroid era. I'm drawing a blank.
Well, like Willie Mays or something?
Yeah. You put Willie Mays on there. It's like, well, I didn't need to cheat to do it. And then you don't have these guys don't get in anyway. It's just stupid. You're like, you open the door when you put Dave Ortiz in, now put the rest of them in.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, I've come around to kind of letting Bonds and Clemens in.
I've always been for it. Who cares? Everyone was doing
it. I was to a point,
Without Bonds and Clemens and Sosa, as far as I know, didn't do steroids, but
Sammy Sosa's a white man now.
Yeah, that's weird. but without those guys, baseball would have died.
Oh,
without the steroid,
I agree.
And you can't keep these guys out. You enabled it. The MLB enabled it. But see, like, when it happened, so it's like, don't punish them now. You didn't punish them then because it was making you money.
I always said they should have made a wing, like a steroid era wing or something. Like,
yeah. I think two people who should also be in: Shoeless Joe Jackson
and Pete Rose. Me and you have.
No.
I think Pete Rose should be in.
No, I don't think Pete Rose should be in because he did that. He did this to himself. He didn't want. He didn't want everything to come out about what actually happened, and he agreed to a deal with the MLB. You can never be in the Hall of Fame, and we will keep everything, you know, locked up behind closed doors. He did this to himself. It's his own fault. You know, you're betting on your team's games. No, I'm sorry. He did this to himself. He didn't have to do that deal. He could have been in the Hall of Fame, probably. You did it to yourself.
Probably. He would have been. He has the most hits.
Yeah, he would have been. But circling back on it, I guess you really can't put Julius Joe in and then not Pete Rose.
Well, because then like, it'd be, then you sound like a hypocrite, you know? Like, if it's like yeah, one guy.
Which is why now I'm circling back on it. I was like, I guess you can't put one in without the other. So I guess keep both of them out. But Pete Rose did it to himself. You took a deal, and now you're pissed off you're not in the Hall of Fame. Well, you know.
Doesn't it make you laugh? Doesn't it make you laugh when you look at, like, the original ballots and see, like, not 100% for guys like Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron or Willie Mays? It's like 96% or 95%. Yeah. I'm like, who are the 5% who said no?
Yeah, yeah, and then, you know, you get Mariano Rivera who got 100%.
Which he should have. He's the best closer ever.
How could you not? I don't know how you couldn't. You know, you could knock him for, like, the Arizona series. Where he blew it.
Oh, give me a break. And the dude was so and this is a Mets fan talking. I liked Mo.
I don't even think he blew it. I think Luis Gonzalez fucking just he threw a cutter in on him and jammed it. So and then the 2003 series against the Marlins, he wasn't great, but
yeah, I mean,
Jeter should have been 100% too. I get why somebody could say, oh well, his defense wasn't that good, which it wasn't. Back then, before they had these defensive advanced stats, which advanced stats in baseball don't bother me. So
they annoy me because you don't hear about it in other sports.
You're starting to. You're going to see more of it in the NFL. You're going to see more of it in the NBA.
I don't know how you could do NHL. Analytics in the NHL doesn't
NHL started this analytics. Baseball has always had analytics, you know, batting averages and analytics, on-base percentage, whip. So baseball's always had it, but like stats, like these new advanced stats really started with the NHL. They have Corsi, they have, goals. I can't even remember all of it. They have a lot. The hockey started advanced analytics. So it's hard because hockey's an odd one. The Rangers, like if you look at the advanced matches, the Rangers should have lost that series. They were the worst team the entire series, maybe except for one game.
If you look at it, if you just base it on advanced metrics, you mean?
Yeah, so I think there's something about hockey. I think advanced metrics are more accurate at predicting who's going to win in, like, baseball. I think hockey is just a little bit more unpredictable. Because, you know, you take a bad shot in hockey, and, you know, normally, oh, yeah, you know, advanced stats say this is going to be saved. But then it hits a defender's skate and goes in. So there's a lot of things you can't account for. Like yesterday, when the Rangers player scored, it went off with two defensemen's skates and into the net. So you can't really count for stuff like that. But yeah, hockey started this whole thing. I think you're going to see it more and more because, you know, these teams are paying a lot of money to these players and, you know, to make their teams better. And
the NFL guaranteeing contracts when you never see a guaranteed contract in the NFL at the time.
Advanced analytics is part of that. They're like, okay, you know, we could, not that you could predict future success. But analytics help predict the future better than just like, oh, yeah, we think he's going to be good. Let's give him $300 million. The analytics should be like, okay, there's an 80% chance he's going to, you know, make his money for us. I know this is an exciting conversation. I'm sorry. But I've been getting more into it lately.
No, I mean, it's making money for the sports. And, you know, for sports that we grew up loving.
It's helping guys get paid, but it's also making teams more apprehensive to spend money, which I wouldn't say the Yankees are more apprehensive to spend money because of advanced stats, but you know, it comes into play in like arbitration. So some guys are going to get, you know, boned. Yeah. These guys, you know, are in arbitration until they're 30, like DeGrom. He managed to avoid it because the Mets gave him, you know, a contract. But you know,
it hurt DeGrom, too, coming in late.
That's another thing I want to talk about with you. Is DeGrom gonna leave?
Let's see if he could play this year. I mean, we got him on a bargain deal considering what we just paid Scherzer and what, like, freaking guys like Robbie Ray have gotten. But I don't know. I mean, of course I would love to keep Jake. But he's not going to get the money that a lot of these guys are getting. One, because he's older, and the injuries have been piling up the last 2 years.
I 100% disagree with you. I think, first of all, I think the Mets are going to make an offer. I don't think he's going to take it initially. I think he's going to test free agency. And I think he's going to get a close to a Scherzer contract.
Like 45 million a year?
maybe a little less because you're right, he is older. But look at Max. Look at Max Scherzer.
He's still doing good. 40, he's 38. He's still doing good.
Yeah. I think DeGrom could still be good in his late 30s, early 40s. I know he's hurt now. He's got the shoulder thing, but he really, to me, and living in New York, and I'm not a Mets fan, but I try to keep up with it. I don't remember him being injured that often. This really,
no,
me,
the one year he got
major injury.
Yeah, the one year he got injured was in 2016. Then he got injured last year, and now just this year. But you know, I'm going to count last year as going into this year too. So
and people are
going
to be like, "Yeah, and you're right." Like if he comes back this year, I still think he'll get a contract, even if he doesn't come back and pitch this year.
Oh, I still love him
because look how much video you have on him.
I know.
You have so much video on him. It's like, does it matter like how he pitches? Is it a risk? Yeah. To sign him if you don't see him pitch this year after an injury.
But well, you got Steve Cohen, who's a hedge fund guy, so he's going to make risks and take risks.
I don't think the Mets are going to give it to him. I don't think Cohen cares about the luxury tax, but I think there's going to be a point where he's like, okay, you know. Because like the luxury tax, the Mets are paying the luxury tax and giving money to teams like the Marlins and the Pirates and the Reds. So I think Steve Cohen, from just a business standpoint, is going to be like, why the fuck am I? I'm paying these teams. I'm paying their players. So, and I think that's a big thing with Hal Steinbrenner too. Like, why am I paying? Like, the Rays won't spend money. Why am I paying the luxury tax to pay for their guys?
And then you have owners like the Cincinnati Reds getting rid of quality players just because they don't want to pay them.
And they're getting paid out of the luxury tax. So I get why Hal Steinbrenner is adverse to going over it. Because that's stupid.
Mm.
Like the Rays have kicked your ass the last few years, and you're paying them to kick your ass. It's like, no, fuck that.
I do think eventually there, maybe a little down the road, that there'll be a salary cap in baseball. I don't know. I see it coming.
No way. The players are not going to let there be a salary cap. No chance.
I mean, we're the only sport. They're the only sport.
No shot. I agree. Would I like a salary cap? Yes. I want the players to get what they're worth, but at some point, like, what are you supposed to do? But I don't think the players are ever going to let it happen, ever.
Oh, because of the union?
The union won't let it happen because it's going to stunt players getting paid. And
oh, yeah, because then you count analytics into it, and then they're going to go to those advanced stats. And
the owners aren't going to want a salary floor because then they have to pay a certain amount of money. They have to spend a certain amount of money every month. Maybe in the future, you know, this CBA is, what did they say, like 10 years or something? I don't remember.
It's like 6 years. I think it's 6 years.
So maybe 6 years down the line, things will change. I'll be like, okay, we're okay with the salary floor. We're okay with the salary cap.
If they were going to go into a strike, they would have fucked the sport more.
Yeah, and I just don't like using the term tanking in baseball. Like,
there's tanking.
There's tanking in baseball.
The NBA is the tank king.
So is the NFL. I don't care what anybody says. Teams tank the NFL easily. But you can't. What's the point of tanking in baseball? What are you getting out of it? Okay, cool. You draft this guy first overall. Then you're not going to see him for 5 years.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on that argument.
I don't like the term tanking in baseball. The Reds aren't tanking. They just fucking suck.
They have incompetent ownership.
The owner's cheap. He knows he's going to make money whether they're good or not. So they don't spend money. It's not tanking. They just don't care. Teams like... not even the Lions. The Lions actually tried last year. The Jaguars were just bad. I'm trying to think of a team that
Dolphins. The Dolphins,
year.
Not last year, but a couple of years.
Yeah, like they're just like. But you know, the Dolphins get first overall pick. They draft. Let's say they took Trevor Lawrence. Whatever, he's going to help you immediately. So I don't think there's tanking in the MLB. I just think it's owners who don't care. They're going to make money, and this is why I hate the luxury tax. Because you know, I don't even know the owner of the Reds, but he knows. Oh, I could suck. They're going to pay me to be bad. So that's why I hate it. But, you know, they agreed to what they agreed to in the new CBA. So we're stuck with it for a while.
Yeah. Well, because they also didn't want a black eye on the sport for going into lockout over money when everyone in the real world is dealing with money issues anyway. So why are you going to argue over money?
I don't think they cared about that as much. I'm sure it was a factor, but. I think we're like, all right, we had a mini lockout during the COVID season. Are we really going to do that again? Play one full season between the two. But I think that was more in their minds than like, oh, you know, we're going to argue about money
or just look like assholes for having maybe another half season, like you just said.
Yeah, and they were never gonna. There was no chance they were gonna have a half season. I thought either they're gonna not have a season or they're gonna have a full one.
Yeah,
and I truly believe that. I truly believe those were the only two possible outcomes. From those negotiations.
Well, thank God they came back. Thank God they came back.
Yeah, the deal kind of came out of nowhere. I remember we heard a bunch of stuff, and then it turned out to be untrue. And then 2 days after, like, oh yeah, okay, we agreed to a deal. So,
all right, man.
There's a lot of baseball talk.
I love it. A lot of baseball because the NFL and is always in the news. I'm just getting more into the NHL here and there, and basketball. I've been a little weak on basketball lately, so.
I don't know.
I mean, shout out to Luka Doncic, though. He's in the conference finals against Steph. That's going to be cool.
Oh, man. What an awful game from the Suns. What an awful game.
I like seeing these memes about him, though.
I cannot believe Devin Booker let that happen.
I had to watch the highlights. What happened again?
I think at the half it was 57-27. There were 27 points in two fucking quarters.
That's what bad teams do. That's what the Magic do.
I don't think the Suns are even bad.
They were the one seed.
They just got outclassed. Chris Paul scoring Devin Booker scoring 5 points at the half. Meanwhile, Luka has 27. I mean, what are you gonna?
Luka is the next best European player. He's the next best Dirk.
I think eventually he ends up better than Dirk, personally. It's hard to compare because Dirk was a big man, but...
Yeah, Luka could probably play a little longer just because of his height.
I still think that trade was a mistake, trading Doncic for...
Trae Young. Trae Young's good, too, though.
Don't get me wrong, but, Luka, they would have won... when did they beat the Knicks? Last year? They would have won last year... with Luka Doncic. That team was awesome. I don't think Trae Young's necessarily bad, but I think he would compliment, John Collins well, and I'm forgetting his name. Kevin Huerter, yeah. And I don't know. I don't like that trade. I still don't like it, but
Mavericks have gotten lucky with European players, so this was...
Yeah, I think they thought Trae Young was going to be Steph Curry, which I guess in a way he is, because Trae Young can hit threes from anywhere, but he doesn't play defense. And Steph Curry's not great at defense.
That's probably another reason why I've been hesitant on NBA. I feel like there's not a lot of defense in the regular season. In the playoffs, there is, because you'll see low-scoring games sometimes. But I don't know. It's just, I guess, I still like basketball, but I miss the old-school aspect of it, too.
The regular season in the NBA, the whole regular season just feels like glorified preseason games at this point.
Yeah,
everyone's just waiting to get to the playoffs.
There's different teams this year though going in. I like that. I hate it when it was just Cavs Warriors constantly.
And the pendulum will swing the other way eventually. The regular season will become exciting again. But right now, why watch? What's the point?
Yeah, I agree. I think this has been a splendid conversation, my friend. This has been like bar talk. I loved it. I got to have you come back on.
It helps that, before you even had the podcast, we were already basically doing a podcast.
Exactly. And people just didn't hear us express our thoughts.
No, definitely, dude. I'd love to come back.
Absolutely, man.
I don't get to do this. I've never gotten to do a podcast before, so this was a... This was exciting. I wish we would have gotten through that whole list. I went off on a lot of tangents.
No,
we didn't get through everything we wanted to talk about. But
you know what? I say we got to basically every point we wanted to in just different ways, and that's good for me. Good enough for me. But I appreciate you coming on, man.
Not a problem, dude.
Everybody, go on and listen. Everyone have a good day. Appreciate you coming on, my man.
Yeah, thank you, dude.
No problem. Everybody, come on and listen.